sure glad God knows what's going on, because I sure don't, amen. You ever just kind of wonder what in the world's going on in your life? I'll tell you, I can't tell you how much I miss you. Boy, last week, gone. Man, I'm glad to see my family. You know, I just wish they were here, and then I'd have to go off after. And had a wonderful time. Had a good time over at Brother Rudy's church and got to preach and had some good fellowship. Got to see my sister and got to see my nephew. He's the chief financial officer of New York City. How about that? And got to see him. He loves me to death. And got to eat barbecue at Maurice's, amen. Yeah. And but it just ain't nothing like home. Ain't nothing like home. Nothing like your own bed, amen. Nothing like your own family. Y'all family, you know. I can't stand it when I'm away from you, amen. I'm so tickled to be here. Took a Wednesday night being here today. So anyway, I want to talk about the King line. Many, unfortunately fail to read Matthew and also Luke, the genealogies. Very important for us. There's no one in this world that can say that I am the king except Jesus Christ. This is the proof. This is the pedigree. This is the way you can trace all the way down to Adam. There in Luke, this is the way you trace all the way from Abraham. Go back to the king. But it's very interesting when you read it that Mary is on both sides. She's on the king line on both sides. And, of course, Jesus Christ, that was all known, and he gave us that. Some people tell us, well, their names are hard to pronounce. Well, if you listen to it so many times, I try to read the Christmas story every day during December. I try real hard. I missed yesterday. I'm sorry. I missed it yesterday, but things were kind of wild yesterday. But that happens around, you know. But I try to read it every day, and when I'm reading it, I read the genealogy because it is so important for us. It's very important for us, and it's kind of like your own family line, where you came from. I know my family. Most of the information I know, they came from Switzerland, and the Shears came from Switzerland and came to Ellis Island, and then came into Ohio Valley, and then up into Michigan, and homesteaded up in there. I don't know too much about my mother's side, and just found out that we have a reason I turned dark is because some way somehow some of my relatives married some Indians down in North Carolina, and so I'm still researching it. I'm finding out. So no wonder this portion of Scripture is very important. It shows that God is very carefully in every detail. I love that. God is very careful in His details. Aren't you glad God's careful about His details? Think of what God made when God created His human being, when He formed man out of the dust of the ground. And the Spirit of God breathed in Him, He became a living soul. Isn't it amazing how that He made us? He made our bodies so intricately. I'm very happy about that. Amen. Even the focuses of your eyes, you know, you look at something very here, and then you look out. You go from a foot and a half to infinity. Amen. Just like that, it's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. I'm glad God is careful about details. Amen. I'm glad that God makes all of us look different. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? Well. You can see the difference. I have a hard time with those girls. I don't care what anybody says. But God kind of got close to that one. Amen. And I'm glad that God is very, very, very careful about His presentation of the Word of God to us. So we don't have to worry about it. Now, there's a lot of people that put a lot of things into the Bible. They shouldn't be putting it in. What does the Bible say? That's good enough. Thus saith the Lord. It shows that God is very careful about his every detail, every one of His detail. And wonderful thing, God is very detailed to the fact that He loves all of us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. He loves all of us. Doesn't make Him we're tall or or short or fat or skinny. God loves us all. Amen. I'm glad about the fat one. Amen. But anyway, if you prayerfully consider what God has for you in the Word of God, it is an amazing thing how He details these things for us. I want you to prayerfully consider the list that is before you this morning. And I think that when you read it, you can anticipate seeing God's mercy in that and God's grace. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? God holds back to what we deserve. Aren't you glad about God's grace? Unmerited favor. He gives us things we are should not be to our merit, but He does give them to us. That's an amazing thing. This week, He was very merciful to you. This week, He was very gracious to you. You're here. I drove by the hospital the other day, and I said, Marcia, I said, I'm so glad you're not up there. We drove by the rest home, and I said, I'm so glad you're not there. Drove by the rehab, and I said, boy, I'm so glad you're not there today. Amen. I'm glad you're home with me. And she said, me too. I want you to look at the maze of names you're going to find here. You're going to find kings. You find shepherds, you find paupers, you find slaves, you find saints, you find sinners, you find the pure, you find the harlots, you find the Jews, you find the Gentiles, you find wise men, you see fools, you find child kings, you find old kings, you find godly kings and godly queens, you find ungodly kings and ungodly queens. And you find idolaters. You find those that were chaste, that were very careful about their lives. You find the assassins. You find the fornicators. You find the reformers. You find the rebellers and the rebels. And you find the child killers. All in this. Isn't it an amazing thing what God has allowed the Son of God to be born into? Now, having said all that, I want you to grasp this thought. God sent His perfect sinless Son into the blood, sweat, tear stained earth to save sinners. And as Paul said, and I'll say the same, of whom I am chief. Number one, if you're taking notes, He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 shows us that for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The law could not do. God gave us the Ten Commandments, and in fact there's more commandments than that, but the major Ten Commandments. You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not have any other God before me. Thou shalt not, you know, use God's name in vain. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not, you know, and so on and so forth. He gave us Ten Commandments. And pretty much those Ten Commandments take care of everything of your life. You understand that, right? Amen. But man could not. He couldn't live it. Man failed every time. But Jesus didn't. He didn't fail in one law did He break. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. God made His Son to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. My goodness, God said, I'll tell you what. I'll send my Son. You accept my Son's blood that was shed on the cross. See, the Bible said there's no remission of sin unless the shedding of blood. Amen. He said, I will send my Son. You accept my Son's sacrifice for you, and I'll make you righteous. I'll give you justification just as if you never sinned. I will take all your sins away from you. Aren't you glad about that? Because if we have sins, we go to hell because we have to pay for our sins. But Jesus stepped in front of us, took our sins for us, shed His blood for us so that we would be blood washed and so that we would have the perfect pleasure to go to heaven someday. Because none of us are righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But boy, with the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's not what I can do, it's what He did. Man for eons of years who've tried and tried and tried to live a good life. They've tried to turn, you've heard the saying, turn over a new leaf. Go 180 degrees backwards or whatever. And they've tried and tried and tried, miserably failing until they get to Jesus. Amen. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Huh? Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad about that. For just a brief moment this morning, I want you to take a look at some of these people that were in the king line. The book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The verse gives us the clue of a special drift in Matthew's gospel. He was moved by the Holy Spirit to write of a Lord Jesus Christ as king, the son of David. He is to be spoken of as specifically regaining and reigning over the true seed of Abraham. Hence, he is called the son of Abraham. It's very crucial that we understand that. Lord Jesus, make each one of us call thee my God and my King. That should be our prayer. God, make me to call you my God and my King. As you read this wonderful gospel of the kingdom, we should be willing to fall to this loyal obedience and pay the Lord Jesus Christ our humble homage. If years ago and you were in England and the queen or the king came close to you, you would bow immediately. Now, there was consequences if you didn't. But for the most part, people bowed before their king or before their queen. And they showed homage. And showed their love toward the hierarchy. We Americans kind of lost that, you know. We're all our own self, amen. I bow to no man. I'll salute the flag, but that's about it, amen. We Americans, we don't really understand about a kingdom, and we have a real hard time understanding about the proper protocol of a king or queen. But there are some people that do. And there are some people who understand that every morning we should bow before our King, our Lord and Lord and our King of Kings, and show humble obeisance, O King, I am your servant today. What would you have me to do? What I'd be, that'd change our hearts real quick, wouldn't it, amen? Change your little boys and little girls at home. Change your teenagers at home. If they bow before the Heavenly Father every day and said, Dear God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will not be an embarrassment to you. I will try everything I can to live by the powers and by the laws and the rules of your nation. Boy, that'd be a change, wouldn't it, man? The portion before what we just read looks only to the string of names. And we might think that these string of names give us no spiritual food. But the Word of God is not to be taken lightly, nor is it to be trifled with, because our Bible is the inspired Word of God. This is God's holy work. From the Holy Bible to the end, what says genuine letter, brother, I'm telling you what, this is from cover to cover the Word of God. Amen. And God does not put things in the Bible just to put things in the Bible. God put that in there for a purpose. And there would be the question would come up, of course, He can't be the Son of God. He can't be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So God said, all right, in Matthew, he told them, he said, now, all right, write this, what I want you to write. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, prophets and men of God wrote the scriptures and gave us very, very important scriptures. Every word, the Bible says every word is preserved. Every word. That's why I have a real hard time with some of these people taking the Bible out of context and writing new Bibles. Let me tell you something. You have the Bible. You have the Word of God. And you find a Bible that doesn't have all the words in it, brother, I'd burn that thing. I'd get rid of that thing. I want everything. I don't want the Reader Digest concise reading of the Bible. I want the Word of God. Because God said His words. In fact, God said, you take from the words, W-O-R-D-S. You take from the words, the S, words. And He said, I'll give you the plagues of Egypt. And I don't want you, I got enough problems. I don't want flies. I don't want frogs. I don't want boils. I don't want lice. I don't want my water turning to blood. I'm really okay with that. So I'm going to take all the Bible. Amen. The Bible said you take from or add to, you're going to get plagued. I think one of the damnable things, I always wondered how Satan would get rid of our Bible and didn't realize what was going on. A man gave me 2 weeks ago, it said the New Schofield King James Bible. If you got a New Schofield King James Bible, you better check it out because they've taken some words out of that Bible. And they still call it King James. I got so mad, I got spit. New Schofield King James Bible, KJV. And it's no different than the International, whatever they call it, or the NIV or whatever. No different. You know why it's no different? Because they have taken the corrupted text and translated instead of taking that majority text that the King James so carefully deciphered and gave us this wonderful English translation of the Bible. So is the Bible important? Absolutely. Is the words important? Absolutely. Marvelous condensation that he should be a man and have a genealogy, even he who was in the beginning of God. You read each line of the book of Generation with fascination, adoration, and gratitude that we have a king who is one with us in our nature and in ties of blood with sinners. He was not polluted. We are polluted. He was born of a woman. We're born of men. We are polluted. He was never polluted. But yet he came to us. Number two. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. With Abraham a covenant was made, that in his seed should all nations of the earth be blessed. How would they be blessed? By Jesus Christ coming through them. He was blessed. The line ran not in Ishmael, the offspring of the flesh, but in Isaac, who was born after the promise, and by the divine purpose it flowed in elect Jacob and not in the firstborn Esau. Let's observe and admire the sovereignty of God. Our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe nothing is said concerning the priesthood, that it might be clear that his priesthood is not after the law of carnal commandments, but after the power of endless life. Yet he come from the Judah's royal tribe. He was king. Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begat Ezron. Ezron begat Amram. And Amram begat Aminadab. Aminadab begat Naasson. And Naasson begat Salmon. Observe the dash of unclean blood which entered into the stream through Judas's incest with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. You remember the story? Judas, son, who was married to Tamar, died. And in the law said that if your son dies, you're to give your next son in line to your daughter-in-law so that the name of her husband would be carried on. And Judas didn't do it. And Judas cheated, and Judas went against the word of God. But one day, he was out shearing sheep and looked for some comfort and thought he found a harlot, and he went in on to her. Little did he know that it was his daughter-in-law. And she had a baby. She had babies, two of them. Isn't that amazing how that God carried that line on through there? Even through that. Oh Lord, Thou art the sinner's friend. Amen? The Lord is the sinner's friend. Salmon begat Boaz of Rachel. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. We note that these two women mentioned in verses on the fifth verse are Canaanite and Moabites. You remember the story of Rahab? Rahab was a harlot. And she was on the wall of Jericho. And of course, you remember how that the men came into there, and she hit those two spies. And she said to them, they asked her questions. She told her and gave them answers. And he said, now listen, he said, don't let something happen to me. And they said, we'll protect you. You've protected us. We'll protect you. And little did they know, she married a guy named Salmon. And little do we know that her daughter-in-law would become, through this, her granddaughter would be Ruth. Amazing thing. And then you check it out, and it comes that the great-great-grandmother of David, I think it's a great-great-grandmother, I was figuring it out the other day, great-great-grandmother of David was Rahab. And the great-grandmother of David was Ruth. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing how God just put it in there? Hey, listen, God loves you. When I'm studying this, I'm just saying, it just reminds me of this, that God, no matter how far we've gone into sin, how far we've gone away from God, He still loves us, and He still will bring us in if we ask Him to come in. Some of the terriblest thing could happen to you in your life. And the most terrible sin could happen to you, or someone had perpetrated something on you, or some predator has taken advantage of you. Let me tell you something. God still loves you. And God still cares for you. And I got so tickled about it, I thought, good night, here it is, right here. Here it is, right here. That God said, hey, listen, here's a lady that's harlot. God forgave her. And she's in the line of Jesus Christ. Here's a Moabites. She's in the ladder. Here's a daughter-in-law in the law, in the line of Christ. Is there anybody too sinful that Jesus won't forgive? No, a million times no. Think these funny names that you read in genealogy is important? I say they are. It just reminds us how God is so good to us and how merciful He is to us. Thank God He loves us. Thank God He loves no matter what. Gentile blood mingled with Hebrew strain. Our King has come from break down the portions of the partitions of the wall. As Gentiles, we rejoice in this. Yes, Jesus' bloodlines flow through the harlot Rahab, for a daughter-in-law that was incest with her father-in-law, Gentile, Moabite, Ruth. He is akin to the fallen and to the lowly, and He will show His love even to the poorest and most obscured and most obscene. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. Huh? what's good. I too may have a part and lot with him. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, and of her that had been the wife of Uriah. There you go. There you go. Here's a man. Committed adultery, but God still loved him. And Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abiah. And Abiah begat Asa. And Asa begat Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begat Joram. And Joram begat Ozias. And Ozias begat Jotham. And Jotham begat Achaz. And Achaz begat Achaias. Well, may our hearts melt at the memory of David and Bathsheba. The fruit of their unholy union died. But after repentance, she who had been the wife of Uriah became the wife of David and the mother of Solomon. Oh, how the grace of God is shown in this case, that the line should continue from a guilty pair. Oh, that the kingship and the kinship with fallen humanity does this indicate of our Lord, his love for us. We will not pry into the mystery of an incarnation, but we must wonder at the condescending grace which appointed our Lord such a pedigree. Then Gaius begat Manasseh, Manasseh begat Amron, Amron begat Josiah. The line of the kings make character. Not one of them were perfect. Some of them were bad, and some of them were worse. Thank God that I can come to a God who knows who I am, yet still love me and you. There's not a perfect person in here. You may have thought that, but I hate to pop your bubble today. There's not a perfect person in here. All of us have someplace, something hidden. We would never want anybody to know. But he knows. Our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? He does. Yet he still loves us. Yahoo! He still loves us. An incredible thing. Thank God for a wife that still loves us and a husband that still loves us no matter what. That's just something about that. That's incredible. But to think to a God who knows everything, who has this insight of everything, nothing gets by him, nothing gets past him, never, nothing gets around him, and he still knows, and he says, I love you. In this world where one man illustrated us as prisoners of hope, we're imprisoned in a body of flesh that sure gets us in trouble a lot. We're prisoners in a body of flesh that someday will disintegrate and turn back to dust and ashes. But we have a hope that endures. Thank God he loves us. I'm going to ask you today, do you have that hope? Amen. Has there been a time in your life that you've looked up to God and said, God, I don't deserve you. I am a sinner. And I deserve your wrath. I deserve your burn in hell forever. But I don't want to go to hell. I want you to forgive me of my sins. And I want you to come in tomorrow. Has there been a time in your life that you've done that? Are you a prisoner of hope? You got something to look forward to? I talked to a lady today. She's telling about her family member that has cancer of her eye. And in my prayer with her, I said, and what's wrong with heaven? I talked to Sam Heidenreich last night over the Skype. He's in the Philippines in Calinog on the island of Panay, over by Iloilo, on the island that MacArthur said, I will return. And he was telling me, he says, Brother Shear, he said, one of our little ladies in our church just gave birth to a little baby that the top of the baby's head was not developed. And all there was brain was gone and just eyes. He teared up. And he says, I told the mama, what's wrong with heaven? What is wrong with heaven? Explain it to me. Tell me what's wrong with heaven. Tell me why I shouldn't want to go there. Tell me why I don't want to get out of prison of this old world and this old flesh. Well, I got a couple reasons. Number one, I still got a job to do. And it's God's job to take me home when it's my time. And secondly, there are sure a lot of people out there need Jesus. There's sure a lot of people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're a prisoner without hope and you have no hope of tomorrow and you're looking at yourself and you're saying inside, you know what, if I die today, I'm in big trouble because I don't know where I'm headed. Let me tell you, I got an answer for you. This God who loved the world gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Won't you ask him to come in your heart today? Father, now pray that now that you just speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us today. Lord, if there'd be anyone here today that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, how can they walk out of this building without knowing you? It's an incredible thought to me. I pray, Heavenly Father, today, if there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, and they're a prisoner in this old flesh, yes, they are. All of us are prisoners in this flesh. But we have a hope because we, at one time, asked you to forgive us our sins and asked you to come into our hearts. I pray today that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, that you'd open our hearts to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but boy, I'd sure like to know that. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Yes. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as the Savior, right now, you can know him personally by asking him to forgive your sins and ask you to come into your heart. All you have to do is pray a prayer like this. Say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on a cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Save me right now. According to God's word, God says, I'll save you immediately without hesitation. He said, today is the day of salvation. I pray that you do that. I pray you trust Christ as your Savior. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I just prayed that prayer. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. You know our needs, and you know they're great. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd just speak to our hearts. And, Lord, with anyone here today, not sure they're saved, what a terrible thing to walk away from here without knowing you as their Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing, you're here today, and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. Are you on your way to heaven? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you've come to God and said, God, I'm a sinner. And I deserve hell. But I'd sure like to be saved. I hope you've had that time in your life. If you haven't, today is the day to do that. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Let me show you from God's Word. You hear Dane say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. That's down in the water and up out of the water. Confessing that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose on the third day. Why didn't you come? You hear Dane say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve.